I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chucks, are you familiar with Danny Ruye? Sports talk radio host in D.C., 106.7 The Fan. Okay. Does a show with Grant Paulson. He's also a comedian.
Well, whether he likes it or not, now Charles Barkley is familiar with Danny Ruye.
Got stuck
back
with me.
G&D on The Fan. So Danny's been doing the Barkley impression for our listeners, you guys out there, for a long, long time. He's never done the Barkley impression for Charles Barkley until this week, and in one of the coolest twists on this show in a long, long time, on the BetQL guest hotline right now, we are joined by an 11-time All-Star, a former MVP, a Hall of Famer, and one of the best in the biz when it comes to breaking down hoops. The real Charles Barkley is on Grant and Danny. What's up, Charles? How are you?
Hey, man. Excuse me, man. I'm doing great. Got two big games tonight. So that's all I do now. I mean, I'm stuck in Atlanta for like the entire playoffs. And I sit around and relax all day or try to play golf, but it's raining. And we got the Hawks against my Sixers, and we got the Clippers against the Jazz. So I'm excited to talk to you guys.
Well, first of all, it's an honor. Second of all, are you kind of generally aware all the time that your co-hosts basically just try to find ways to prank you? That seems to be kind of the running theme of the show of late.
Well, man, we have so much fun. Yep. I mean, listen, we talk about stupid basketball. I mean, we're on television from 8 o'clock to 2 a.m. So if you don't have some fun, there's no need to be there. I mean, cause it's a long night. I think the people don't understand because you know we obviously do one East Coast West Coast game. So the most important thing is trying to have fun for 6 hours. And first of all, we hope the game is good. That's the most important thing. But if the game isn't good, man, we try to have as much fun as possible.
One of the things I loved about your reaction, not just to Danny's impression, but Charles, this has for a long, long time been obvious that you guys cutting up on each other just feels like buddies sitting around. You don't seem to care at all if people are poking fun at you, if they're bringing out the donuts or whatever. I think we all need more of that in our lives. Is that something that's always been the case for you?
I don't understand how people get upset and don't have fun. I mean, especially doing this crazy damn stuff we've been going through for the last, how long have we been going through COVID? Almost over a year now.
Like 15 months, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you take yourself too serious and then this COVID thing hit, you probably unkilled yourself by now. So I tell people like, yo, man, we played basketball. Now I get paid to talk about basketball. If you take yourself too serious on doing something like stupid basketball and now talking about it, you need to have your head checked. I really believe that. But listen, man, I always believe I'm like the luckiest. And I'm not just saying this because I'm on your show. I mean, I feel like I'm the luckiest dude in the world. I mean, I got to play basketball for 16 years. And I've been on television for 20 years, so I haven't had a real job in my entire life. So I should be in a good mood. Think about this. Today I'm getting paid to watch Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Trae Young, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert. I'm getting paid to watch them play basketball tonight. Can you imagine how lucky I am?
Not too shabby. Charles Barkley with us, one of the greatest players I've ever seen, best in the biz. TNT, NBA on TNT every night. pre-post all throughout the evening. So, Charles, the coolest thing for me getting to do this, obviously, you guys are heroes of mine, and the show is just phenomenal. So being a part of it even a tiny bit was just the coolest thing. But when you guys couldn't see me and I was on hold, right? So I'm doing the Zoom call. I'm picking up your internal mics and you guys are just shooting the bull with each other. And it was, for folks that didn't see it, there was an award show that was going on that night, and you guys were rightfully so, racking up a bunch of these different awards, right? And there was one that you didn't win, okay? And I'm listening to all this happen pre-show, and I'm just sitting there geeking out. This was the coolest thing. So Kenny asks, didn't we used to win that, or hadn't we won that before? And without missing a beat, you go, we used to win that damn thing all the time until Shaq came on the show, and right away Shaq said something I can't repeat on the radio. And it was the funniest thing in the world. I'm sitting there slapping my knee, and it really was, it just like on air, you guys behind the scenes really are that way. That was probably the coolest thing for me.
Well, thank you. Now, we are like that. And I think it's really funny. I wish people could put a mic. Well, first of all, we'd get in trouble.
We'd get fired, suspended,
yeah. And kid. Yeah, no question. Especially nowadays, because everybody's the PC people are out overboard right now. I mean, I can imagine you guys.
Mind, it's not the time right now, man. They're out there.
It's not the time
just
to go out on a limb.
Stay in your home.
No, I'm just saying this for like, I can't imagine you guys doing a show every day. How crazy it is for you. Like, I mean, it's gotten so out of hand right now. I couldn't imagine having to watch myself. You can't even have fun nowadays without these jackasses trying to get you canceled and things like that. So I, especially you being a comedian,
yeah.
But still just having fun talking about sports. Like, listen, I'm trying to hang on for another couple of years till I'm 60. And then they can kiss my ass because I'm only working to 60. I've already told them that. I said, yo, man, I'm not working till the day I die. That's just stupid. And if I don't have enough money by now, I'm an idiot anyway. So they should fire me anyway. But, like, that's all we ever talk about behind the scenes now. Like, yo, man, be careful going in this direction. I'm like, yo, man, we can't even have fun anymore. We've had fun all these years, and now all of a sudden in the last year and a half, everybody's trying to get everybody fired, and it really sucks. So I can't imagine you guys, like, every day, like, hey, I want to say something funny when something happened, but, yeah, we can't go there. I mean, it's
I'll
so,
say
I,
this,
I
Charles, could, I, we're way less interesting. We're way less funny. There's no doubt.
And neither of us is a Hall of Famer to have that to fall back on. You know what I mean?
There's that, too. But, like, I talked to my wife about this, or, like, even my parents. Like, there's just things we don't even talk about, which is sad. I give you guys credit because on your show, more than a lot of shows like it, you do go after some of the big, real issues in the country. When things are going on, maybe outside of basketball, you discuss them. We're not even comfortable really doing that. So we avoid it like the plague, which is sad.
Yeah, it is sad because my big thing has always been, one of my favorite phrases is, we agree to disagree. I'm not mad. I don't want you to be mad. We just disagree. But unfortunately, it's been happening for a couple of years now. Like, if people disagree with you, they're going to get fired. But they're coming for your head. You know, and a lot of our bosses are cowards. And instead of saying, hey, you know, it's so funny. I said, context matters. They're like, context doesn't matter. I said, that's total BS. Context always has to matter. But now, if you crack a joke the wrong way, they're like, oh, no. You crossed the line. I mean, they won't even let me talk about San Antonio anymore. You know? what I'm always talking about, them big old women down in San Antonio? They're like, Charles, we got one lady wrote an article. Yeah. I'm like, first of all, I didn't call anybody personally fat in San Antonio. I was just joking around. And well, this one lady wrote this article. I'm like, so y'all gonna let one lady? We've been having fun with this for probably 10, 15 years. And when we go to San Antonio, the people are having a blast with it. I mean, the people in San Antonio, they had T-shirts made up. Now, I mean, I don't have to go back there anymore because their team sucks. My life is dictated by how good your basketball team is.
So you haven't been to D.C. in a while?
It's been a minute, huh?
Hey, listen. I'm never coming to D.C. again, unfortunately. No time soon. Hey, D.C., Orlando, Miami, Cleveland, Oklahoma City. Those are cities I might – Houston now – as they just said it, I'm never going to see again.
Amazing. Well, here's the thing. Wasn't San Antonio rated the fattest city in the country like 2 years ago? And I have relatives in San Antonio. I've been. Everybody loves eating down there.
Listen, man, I'm from Alabama. Yeah. We've been flip-flopping with Mississippi for the fattest state for the last 32 years. I know that's a fact. So when I'm joking about San Antonio, but like, hey, listen, I'm from Alabama. We it's like I said, every year fluctuates between Alabama and Mississippi. It's the fattest state. And so I don't really have the leg. First of all, I'm fat myself right now. So I really don't have a leg to stand on. But I'm hoping, you know, man, we're just trying to have some fun. I mean, listen, at 12:45 at night, you like, what can we do to make people, like, I'm going to say stupid things, fun things, hopefully. But it's 12:40, and we, like I said, we go on to 2. So I'm like, hey, at 12:45, and first of all, ain't nothing worse than having a crap game. And, you know, like, people like, you know, nobody's watching this game. Our relative's not even watching the show after this. And then so about 1 o'clock, you're like, man, I'm going to say something just to have some fun. But like I say, now you have to really think about all the fun stuff you used to say.
Charles Barkley on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. I want to know, most analysts in your role that used to play, they will pull punches because they have relationships with players and coaches. I don't know if you feel like you ever do, but doesn't seem like it. Like, you will straight up say a guy had a terrible game, or you'll say they're about to get bounced because he stinks or whatever. Has a guy ever like hit you up or come after you? Because when we say stuff like that, we hear from people, but I wonder if because you're Charles Barkley, you kind of get a free pass.
Oh no, no. I get a lot of, I used to get a lot more. Yes. To answer your question, yes. I've gotten them from coaches. I've gotten them from players. I've gotten them from agents. And, you know, my problem is, and it's not my problem, I can't criticize some guys and not criticize other guys. I think you lose all your credibility. Because that's the one thing I hate about a lot of sportscasters. And one reason I hate old punk-ass Skip Bayless is because he cherry picks the guys he likes and the guys he don't like. And if you actually have paid attention to him going back, like, you can just tell he hates that guy or he loves that guy. And I don't think that's the way you should do your job. So I made up my mind a long time ago, whether guy's a friend of mine or not, I'm going to tell the truth. And I can sleep good being fair. But I get a lot of calls, not a lot like I used to, from when I first started, from like, yo, man, you a player? I'm like, yeah, I'm a player who just saw you play like crap. I'm not going to get on here and say you played good.
Charles Barkley with us here on G&D. So this is something I can't relate to, because you're famous for everything, your post-career and your career itself. What's it like to be impersonated? What's it like to have a bunch of idiots like me who can, you know, kind of manipulate their voice? Everyone from Caliendo to Ari Spears and me and Jay Farrow and Kenan Thompson, everybody out there is doing you. What's that like?
I think it's awesome. I take it as a great compliment. I've got to tell you this funny story Probably about 20 years ago, this other celebrity calls me, and I never even met the guy, and I'm not going to out him because, you know, clearly he's sensitive. He calls my agent. He says, hey, can this guy have your number? I'm like, of course, he's him. He calls me, and I said, yeah, what's going on? He says, I need your help. I said, sure, anything you need. I says, what you need? He says, I want to file a lawsuit against Frank Caliendo. I'm like, for what? I think, oh no, this true story. I think he's a jackass, and I think we should put a stop to this. We should sue him and say a cease and desist. I said, yo, man, are you really serious? He said, yes. I just think it's wrong what he does. I said, first of all, I've seen this impersonation of you, and it's hilarious. I think mine is hilarious also. But, you know, I was like, when I got off the phone, I called my agent and my friends. I'm like, yo, man, this dude is like, you wouldn't believe what he called me for. I said, yo, you're one of the most famous people in the world. You should take it as flattery that people actually think about you and want to impersonate you. But he was hot under the collar. I said, hey, you know what? We just look at it differently. I'm going to take it as a compliment. So when I saw your rendition of in person, I thought it was hilarious.
Wow.
And but let's say I take it as a great compliment, but I'll tell you, some of these people got zero sense of humor, man. I'm not gonna lie.
That's a problem. It's a big part of it for sure. You said you sit around in Atlanta getting ready to go on air. So what's a normal day like if you're not golfing? What do you like to do?
Well, I'm down 35 pounds. I got 50 more to go because I gained 85 pounds in the last 2 years because I just got two new hips. So that's my goal. I'm actually starting to feel like a human being again, but I still got 50 more pounds. But I've lost 30 since the beginning of the year, and I'm starting to feel like a human being because, you know, being fat, hey, if anybody else want to be fat, that's on them. But my doctor told me, he said, listen, you got the hips now. You can work out again. You're going to gain 85 pounds in the last 2 years. It's time to get your fat ass in shape. He says, you know what he told me? He says, you know what you see? A lot of fat young people. You know what you don't see? Fat old people, because they dead. And I says, yep. What do you mean? He says, yeah, fat old people, that they don't exist. You can be fat when you're young because, you know, you're young and you're studly. But he said, but fat old people, they drop dead. And I said, I get your drift, Doc.
I always tell myself that they just kind of waste, you know, the fat goes away and they get skinny.
No,
how it works.
No. Hey, and a lot of fat old people walking around because they're dead. So that's been my goal since January.
Nice, man.
And so like I say, I've lost 35. I got 50 more to go. Because, number one, I just feel better. Like I said, I still got a long way to go, but I actually feel 100% better.
What's harder for you? Because Danny and I deal with this all the time. We've gone back and forth, you know, with weight and everything. Is it eating good or spending the time exercising? Like, what is tougher for you?
No, it all comes down to diet. Listen, because nobody, as you get older, you can't work out enough to burn those calories. You got to change your eating habits. I mean, you can't. That's the thing. I mean, you can't work. Especially my mom, I'm 58. Nobody can work out that hard where you can eat anything. Like when I used to play, man, I would eat two fish fillets and a large fry, but I'd wash it down with a Diet Coke just to make myself feel better. That was my pregame meal a lot.
You ate that on a game night?
Man.
On a game day for lunch.
Oh.
I mean, I love those fish fillets. Tartar sauce is one of the greatest inventions of all time, man. I would go on my way from practice, I'd grab two fish fillets and a large fry and get me a big old Diet Coke. Go home and take my pregame nap, and I was ready to go.
And 30 and 15 that night, man.
29 yeah, and 17 later.
Unreal.
Yeah, but you don't. Well, you can do all that stuff when you're young. That's the key. You can do all that crap when you're young, but you cannot do it once you get past 40. And like I say, I was doing a decent job, but in the last 2 years, I've gotten those new. And when I got those hips, I was kind of laid up for 3 months. So I'm not one of those people who can go anything just eating and not doing anything. So that's my only goal between now and beginning of the next season, lose this other 50 pounds.
So what's the kryptonite? Like when I'm trying to do the diet thing, if somebody slides chocolate chip cookies in front of me, pummeled, diet's over for the next 6 months, pancakes, anything,
bread.
Carbs are so wonderful. What's the kryptonite, Charles?
Well, I think that the kryptonite, that Talenti stuff, I have to have one of those Talentis every night.
What are those?
The ice cream. It's like the ice cream thing.
Frozen yogurt. Yeah, it's like Froyo.
The frozen yogurt. Talenti is ridiculous. That's probably my biggest kryptonite. And also, my second biggest is not eating in the morning. So my trainer has said, he says, you got to eat breakfast. So because in the NBA, we practice in the morning. And I never want to get up early. So I never ate breakfast until really in the last couple of years, to be honest with you. So I never ate breakfast because, like I say, I didn't want to go to practice full. So he told me, he said, unless you eat something in the morning to turn on your car, which means, you know, you start burning calories, your body's not going to turn on. So it's been actually pretty easy to lose the weight if I just, like, make sure I eat breakfast. And I have to switch up every 3 or 4 days. I switch up my workouts. Because he said, and the biggest problem with people trying to lose weight, they do the same exercise all the time, and your body adjusts to it, and you won't burn calories. So now, you know, in the best decision I made, I bought myself an outdoor bike with the greatest thing ever. And I just go ride for a couple hours every day during the summer. And, man, I don't even feel like I worked out. I just felt like I took a bike ride. And it's been great. I bought one from my house in Philly. Well, I got a condo in Philly. And I bought one from my house in Arizona. And I just go ride for a couple hours every day. And I'm like, man, I just went for a bike ride. And then, but you think to yourself, like, no, I really just burned up a lot of calories.
Charles Barkley on G&D. This has been therapeutic, by the way.
It's been so awesome.
I mean, he speaks our language with broadcasting and fear.
I bike, too. I don't like Skip Bayless. We're buddies, man.
Yeah, this is happening. Charles, we'd love to keep going. We didn't even get to talk basketball with you, but this was more fun, man.
Well, you want to talk basketball?
Yeah, we want to talk basketball.
Let's go. Let's talk basketball. Right, I mean, that's what
we got. Well, we got to take a break. And you want to?
Oh, yeah, you probably got to pay some bills.
We do.
Yeah. Is it cool if we talk hoops after that?
Yes. Hey, and what kind of commercial? What kind of commercials you're gonna be playing? In case I need some stuff.
I got a Bet Rivers ad coming up here in about 25 seconds.
Well, I'm a FanDuel guy, so I got to stay away from that.
Understood.
The FanDuel Sportsbook, Charles. I got your promo code is GP.
Hey, listen, Kenneth's one of those New York shysters. He thinks that Kenneth thinks that every commercial that we show that he should get some of it.
That's not how it works.
I'm telling you, man. Kenny is a typical New Yorker. They got an angle. He's like, the other 4 years ago, I got a set of tires at the house. And I'm like, TNT, I said, hey, there's a set of tires at the house. What the hell going on? They're like, well, Kenny, we had a tire commercial, and Kenny wanted it, and they felt like they had to send them to the other guys. I'm like, yo, man, they pay us a lot of money. You can afford your own damn tires.
You don't need to get them just because I got them. All right, I'm going to put Charles on hold. Ryan, you keep him company over there for a minute. And then we're going to talk some hoops with him next. We'll break down the NBA playoffs. How great has this been? How cool. Charles Barkley on Grant and Danny.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One of the craziest, one of the best days in recent show history continues. Grant and Danny on the Fan. So Charles Barkley is back. We said it would have been funnier maybe if he was just like, yeah, let's keep talking. And then we never
heard
from him
again.
He just came in like a star that burned out, and then he was gone. And we're like, did that just happen? Did we just hang out with Chuck and kind of become best friends? It's like that never happened. But he is back right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Charles, welcome back onto the show. Hopefully we haven't ruined your day completely.
Well, I thought y'all had the longest commercial break in the history of civilization.
Well, we do have really long.
They are long, yes.
So here's the question then: is our guy Ryan? Does he need to be in trouble?
We can scold him if you'd like.
Do we have to fire him?
No, he said. I'll text you. I said okay, and I said, yo. Then after about 10, 15 minutes, I text him. I said, yo, man, y'all back from break yet? He says, I've been texting you. I said, no, man, that's not a number, you know, because I have to do a lot of interviews, so I don't want to do those on the cell phone in case it keeps breaking up or anything. So I put a landline in the house just to do interviews, but it doesn't ring. It doesn't ring. And he was sent into that number. I don't even know what that number is. So he's not the smartest. Hey, he's not the smartest guy in the world, but that's okay.
Well, we already knew that. We love him, though. He's so funny.
He's adorable.
And he's precious, and he has high energy, and he's a good dude. You'd like him, too, I think. But we're not telling
you
he's smart.
Well, since I'm never going to see the Wizards, come to D.C. to see the Wizards, y'all going to come visit me somewhere.
All right, we're going to do it. Let's play Top Golf or something. Let's hang out. That would be the coolest thing ever. I told you we wanted to talk basketball, but I do have one more thing that I want to bring up before we do basketball. And that is because I've always wondered this. There was this story out there that you gained 20 pounds in 48 hours one time.
Oh, yeah. That's a true story.
Amazing.
So
beats my record.
Danny has the record for our show. He gained 27 pounds on vacation in a week and a half one time. But 20 and 48, you pummeled him.
Well, what happened was, okay, back when I came to the NBA, they had a hard salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sixers had invited me up like a month before the draft because, you know, that was a big concern of my weight because I played around 300 pounds in college. So the Sixers invited me up. I weighed about 297, I think, at that time. And the owner says, listen, I want to see if you're going to be able to control your weight. We're going to – And I think the draft was about a month, 5 weeks, somewhere in there. So he says, I'm going to bring you up here, and I want you to be 285. And I says, oh, yeah, that's no problem. I got like a little over a month. So I go down to Texas and spend that month with my agent. I don't want to miss his name because he turned out to be a crook. His name was Lance Lesnick. Hey, if I ever see that MF again, I'm gonna bash his head in.
Oh,
I'm telling you, this dude stole all my money after 4 years I was broke. And if I ever see
really
him again,
he really took that much money.
He took all my money, but that's okay. Hey, listen, that's okay. I'm gonna forget and kill. I'm not gonna kill him. But I would punch him in the face probably. So. We stopped. So, like, 2 days before the draft, he sits me down and says, hey, you do know the Sixers are over the salary cap, and you're going to sign a one-year deal for $75,000. I said, yo, man, I didn't leave college for $75,000. Are you kidding me? He said, well, that's the way the rules work. He said, you're going to be – because Sixers had the number 5 pick in the draft. I said, man, I'm not leaving college for $75,000. He says, well, I don't know what to tell you. What are we going to do? I said, let's find a way the Sixers don't draft me. So we got 2 days before we have to get to Philly. So that morning, I'm at probably 282. I'm doing great until he broke my heart with that 75 grand. So that morning we wake up, we went to Denny's. And I ordered like 12 pancakes, sir, bacon. ate up good.
That's awesome.
And then we went to a steakhouse, and I got like a porterhouse. And, you know, I got onion rings, and I got a big piece of cake. And that was the first day. The second day, I did the exact same thing. I went to Denny's, and I ate 2 or 3 Grand Slam breakfasts, went out to another big steakhouse. We jump on the plane to stop in Philly, and I weigh 302. And I'm like, okay, I'm good to go now. The owner calls me every name in the book, and I'm like trying to keep a straight face, because I'm trying not to. Man, I don't want y'all drafting me. I don't want no $75,000. So he had called me every name in the book. We jump on the train, we go to New York, and because if you go back and look at the footage, there's a painful look on my face. You know, I like, because when they said, and with the 5th pick in the draft, the 76ers select Charles Barkley, I was, oh my, and I, you know, you kind of like, but I got an ugly look on my face. I mean, so yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Which look was worse, yours or Steve Francis going to Vancouver?
Oh, Steve Francis was worse because he just showed it. I actually faked it pretty good. Yeah, I'm telling you, my man Steve Francis, that was an ugly, ugly look he had. I remember that vividly. Because I played with him then.
We have the same feeling, I think, toward Drake. Because one of the things I always loved was you suffer Drake doing his All About Me thing on the sideline about as much as I do, Charles.
I like Drake.
Yeah, but
I do. I think that when he's harassing the other players, that crosses the line. But, you know, he's number one, he's a really nice guy. I mean, he's a really a nice guy. But, you know, I just think sometimes, listen, because you can see it, that stuff is fun when you're winning. But they were getting ready to lose the world championship. So, he had to be very – if I was losing the championship, if he had been cheering for the Bulls and I'd been standing right beside our bench, I might have clocked him.
Charles Barkley with us here on G&D. A little bit of hoops. I promised we would. What a turnaround in this Brooklyn-Milwaukee series, Charles. Milwaukee looked like they were dead on arrival. Now with Harden out, Kyrie with the ankle. Milwaukee's got to be the favorite, yes?
Well, I picked Milwaukee before the series. People got to stop overreacting. Like the same thing with this Clippers-Utah. Like Utah only did what they were supposed to do. I mean, a series does not start until you lose a home game. So I thought they would go back to Brooklyn 2-2. Now it switches if Kyrie's not playing. I really think that can you imagine if the Bucks lose to the Nets without James Harden and without Kyrie Irving, can you imagine the heat that Giannis is going to take?
Yep.
I mean, he's going, I know how this thing works. If he's got to win this series now. I mean, he's got to win this series with no James and no Kyrie. I mean, that's really put him under the gun. But hey, that's what goes with the territory when you win MVP and you're a great player. You get criticized if you don't win.
Well, Charles, that's what I was going to bring up, actually, what you just mentioned. Now, obviously, you guys had different games and there's different times, but I see a lot of the treatment that he gets in kind of the same treatment that you got. I always thought that was a little unfair. Like you were great players. He's a great player, but everybody decides, you know, if there's a postseason that doesn't go right because they run up against a buzzsaw of some sort. I kind of see a lot of parallels there. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's just the way it goes. I mean, you know, it all changed when LeBron left Cleveland and teamed up with those guys in Miami. Now that put from that point on, you know, guys act like they don't read the newspaper, listen to the radio, but they do. I admire same thing with KD. He's like, yo, I'm not going to win this thing. I better, because once you win it, you can kind of get diplomatic immunity. So Giannis is going to, first of all, I love the kid, and I hope he stays in Milwaukee, and I would like to see him win it, but if they don't win, it's not the end of the world. But that's just the media we live in now, where guys going to get on TV. Well, number one, I'm not one of those guys, but these idiots on TV are going to say, well, what's he won, anything? Number one, like, they actually played. They've never played anything in their life, but that's just the monster we uncreated. And I always tell people, it ain't right, it ain't wrong, that's just how it is. Because if he loses, they should win this series. I thought they'd win it going in, and now they better win it.
I do hate the analysis of the ring talk. Like, I happen to think Jordan's the greatest player ever over LeBron, but in the same way, hypocritically, people will say, well, he has six and LeBron's got fewer. Like, Marino doesn't have any, or a guy like your career is supposed to be worse, as if it's just easy to win by yourself. Like, you're in a lane swimming in an individual sport. Drives me out of my mind. Like, people will say, well, Brady's better than Manning. Look how many championships he's won. Well, there's a conversation to be had. There's more to it to winning titles than just that means you're the best.
I think what happened, a couple of these idiots and fools and jackasses on television, you know, they make a living criticizing guys who haven't won it because it's a great debate. Not really. And I don't even think it's debate. Like, wait, when did this become an individual sport? And we're not tennis or golf, but something happened where guys like, oh, if I can, I can criticize guys and make a great living at it, a.k.a. a skilled ballist. And he's made a great living saying that, and it really pisses me off. But he's made, like, now he's made it popular for other people to do it. You know, Stephen A. does it sometime. Max does it sometime. But somewhere along the way, people realize, like, oh, man, if I can criticize a star, and then you do the old silliness, like, well, who's better between Michael and Kobe? Who's better between Kobe and LeBron? So these guys start making a lot of money doing that. And like I say, now the thing is, well, he's not wanting things, so he's not worthy. I'm like, yo, man, I'm not out here by myself. This is a team game, but that's just the way it's built now.
Charles, you were an MVP. Last night we had an MVP get ejected. I mean, the league you played in, I think about like those 90 games against the Pistons when you're getting into it with Laimbeer and just the way that Rodman used to like pull your jersey off, essentially trying to keep you from getting the ball in the post. You saw Joker get ejected last night. I know that it was a swing to make a hard foul, but he barely ends up touching Payne. What did you think of that?
Well, I think the ref should have took into account it was an elimination game, and he was the MVP. I don't think he should have got tossed. It should have been. I mean, because like I say, context matters. You know, like we were talking earlier about when you make a joke, sometimes it's just a joke. It's not like somebody's got to be all offended. Like sometimes it is just a joke. And so I thought the ref would have said, okay, he did hit him. I don't think he was trying to hit him, but he is the MVP and this is an elimination game. So I think the refs could have taken that into context and they did not. So I think they screwed up last night.
Charles, what would be really cool for a number of reasons, one, what Philadelphia has gone through just in terms of their basketball building, and then two, the team that Phoenix has put together, we could have the Charles Barkley Bowl in the finals. It's on the table with what Phoenix did last night, kind of finishing off Denver that we're talking about. Happy for Chris Paul and James Jones, the way that team is put together, but what would that mean to you, having a couple of franchises that you can claim as your own meeting in the finals?
It would be pretty cool because I couldn't lose, number one. Because I live in both places, yeah. It'd be awesome. And number one, we won't be working, so I'll probably get to go to, you know, as a regular. Well, I don't like going to games to take away from these kids, but I'd be watching it very intensely, and I'd be happy for my friends in Philadelphia, or I'll be happy for my friends in Arizona. I mean, it would really be pretty awesome, but man, I tell you what, we got a long way to go because This depending on Brooklyn's health and Milwaukee, man, they're going to be a handful for the 76ers. But also out west, Phoenix is going to be an underdog to whoever they play, whether it's the Clippers or Utah. As great as this season has been, I don't think they're going to be favored against either one of those teams out west. And I don't think Philadelphia is going to be favored against Milwaukee if they play them. Now if these other guys are hurt now, I think Philly will be favorite.
Charles, when's the last time you've been starstruck? Like if I was walking across the street and I saw you, it'd be so cool to run up and, you know, say what's up. Has that happened to you at any point in your adult life?
Oh yeah, many times. I mean, first time I met Wayne Gretzky, first time I met Denzel Washington. I remember I was telling a story like on a podcast the other day because we were interviewing Marv Albert. I remember the first time, when I'm a rookie, Jack Nicholson, you know, he sits right beside the Lakers bench. Mm-hmm. And Jack said my name. I called all my friends after the game. Jack Nicholson know who I am. You know?
It's amazing.
And then I said, man, y'all ain't going to believe this. Denzel Washington said, good luck, young gun. I said, like, Denzel Washington know who I am. I mean, you're always – I mean, the first time I met Dr. J and Moses, I tell people, like, I stayed up all night the night before my rookie year because I didn't know what to call Dr. J. I said, God, I asked all my friends, do I call him Doc, Dr. J, Mr. Irving, Julius? They're like, that's a good question. He walked up, he said, hey, young fella, I'm Doc. And I say, hey, I'm Charles. Glad to be here. But anytime, like, you do something like that, it's pretty. Because, you know, you appreciate, like, Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady is number one. He might be the greatest athlete of all time. He's the greatest football player of all time, and he's the nicest guy on top of it. But first time I met him, I think he had probably won 4 or 5 Super Bowls the first time I met him. And I was like, damn, Tom Brady.
Yeah. That ain't bad. Charles, this is incredible. And it would have been more incredible had things been a little bit different. 1984 draft, Charles Barkley goes 5 to Philadelphia. Melvin Turpin went to the Washington Bullets at the time with the number 6 pick. If only you'd pouted a little bit more and gotten to D.C.,
yeah,
it would have been a different career.
32 pounds.
You know?
Hey, so Melvin went 6, correct?
Yes, Melvin went 6 right after you.
So you know who we found out started the rumor that I had ballooned up when they, because I don't think I was, you know, they put out a rumor that I was like 350 pounds, and it was Bernie Bickerstaff. It was Bernie Bickerstaff of the Wizards.
Because
they wanted you to fall.
Because they wanted me to fall. So that's actually part of the story, too. That's why the Sixers are like, no, you need to come to Philly before you go back to New York. We're not going to take your word for it. No, you're coming to Philly. But Bernie Bickerstaff, who's really turned into a really good friend of mine over the years. But I'll tell you what, I like Sachi Brown, man. I think he's going to do a great job down there if y'all are patient. I don't know him that well. I met him a couple years ago. But
smart
I think
dude.
If y'all give him time, he's going to do a really smart dude. I mean, y'all just got to be patient. Because let me tell you something. The big kid Gafford, Rui, I think both of those guys, those were good picks, man. I really like Gafford. Gafford was the bright spot in the playoffs. He was terrific. And like I say, I like how you pronounce his name?
Hachimura.
Rui Hachimura, yeah.
Yeah, so y'all got to figure out what to do with Wes and Bradley. But, man, y'all have made some good draft picks lately.
They got to figure out what they're going to do with the coach because Brooks supposedly might come back. But we watch all these other teams interviewing coaches, and right now I don't know what's going
on. It's
just
tumbleweed across the street. We don't hear a single rumor.
Nothing in D.C.
Well, listen, Scott is a really good friend of mine, and it's a tough business. Scott is a really good – he stayed with me for a while when he was with the 76ers.
Really?
Because, oh yeah, he's been a good friend. He's like the really funny part of the story is we were talking one day, and he says, "Hey, I'm going looking for apartments today." I said, "Rick, why don't you just stay with me for a while?" And then he says, "Okay, that's a good idea." And then like 5 days later, he got cut. He says, "So good damn idea you didn't go get that condo and have to pay that rent for a year, right?"
First and last.
That's pretty great.
Hey, I did. He says to me, and we used to joke about it. He says, "Hey, why did you ask me to come live with you?" I said, "Man, I didn't think you were going to make the team, and I know how these big cities work. You've been paying rent for a year living and back in what I think you went to Cal Irvine." I said, "You'll be living in Cal Irvine paying rent back in Philadelphia." That made no sense.
Amazing.
And I knew they had to make, I said, "Listen, you're a good kid." And I said, "Won't you wait?" Because I knew they had to make a decision in like a week. And I said, "Yo, I'm not going to let this kid go buy an apartment and have to pay rent for Lisa to pay rent for a year." And he stayed with me. So he's always been a great friend. He's a great kid. He's had a great career. And like I say, I'm hoping, wishing nothing but the best for Scott.
Well, Charles, this has been a treat.
Unbelievable, buddy.
One of the best shows we've done in 8 years just because you hung with us this long. This was a lot of fun. Thank you. Very, very cool.
Well, hey, man, I really appreciate you guys. Number one, keep having fun, making fun of me. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. And you guys keep continuing success.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you so much. Seriously. This
means a lot.
Right,
thanks.
Take care. Thank you.
Charles Barkley.
Wow.
What on earth was that? I mean, that was crazy. If you missed him from 320 to 3 to 320.
Quarter of our show today is Charles Barkley.
You got 4 to 420 Charles as well. Go back and podcast whatever
oh
you
God.
Miss. One story after another. That was a To say it was a tan, Miss Davis, a tan, doesn't do it justice. We could have kept going.
I'm like awestruck at this moment.
It was a lot of fun.
Wow.
That was cool. Grant and Danny on the Fan. All right, let's get our acts together next. Let's regroup a little bit.
Here we go.
This is just as important and just as cool. We're going to talk about Logan Thomas's projected 2021 season in Washington next, right here on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.